begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And we'd like to read in unison the beautiful 23rd Psalm. For those of you who might want to use the Pew Bibles, it's found on page 532 of the Pew Bibles, 532. The Good Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 23. We'll read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We'll sing hymn number 16 from the Favorite Hymns of Praise. Hymn 16.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ran I high the fall. Not has divine salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Continue our reading of the history of the early Christian church in the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. We have here a real breakthrough where God, by a vision, has showed Peter to take the gospel to the Gentile people. And so he's in the home of Cornelius, We're beginning the reading at chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly I know that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. You know the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were pressed down by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him and hanged him on a tree. But God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses forechosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets give witness to him, that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those hearing the word. And those of the circumcision who believed, as many as came with Peter, were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can any man forbid water that these who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they begged him to stay certain days. Hymn number 127.
Earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.
praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He has done.
Our gospel reading is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. It wasn't too long before this that John the Baptist had stood by the banks of the Jordan and had given public witness to everybody watching that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. It's quite another thing, however, to believe that when you're sitting in prison waiting for your head to be cut off. And so we see the great John the Baptist here in a moment of weakness where Satan shakes the foundations of his faith, but the Holy Spirit pulls him through. The reading is from Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, it came to pass that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And they said to him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go tell John again those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, they who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among those who have been born of women, there has not risen a greater one than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And now hymn number 243.
Thou must save. simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Oh, like to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, ere I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on the judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
This morning we'd like to kind of backtrack a little bit and look at one of the verses that was in the text last week, and look a little deeper into it, where the Holy Spirit reveals to us the movements in the enemy camp during the greater part of the 3.5 years that Elijah was by the brook Cherith and in the house of the widow of Zarephath. The text is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 10. The words of Obadiah, who was the right-hand man to King Ahab. And he speaks the words to Elijah. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of that kingdom and nation that they found thee not. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that there are two main seekers in this world. One is the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, he says. For behold, your adversary the devil walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The other main seeker is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now the big question is, which one of these two seekers is going to find what he's seeking for? It's a very important question. Your eternal destiny and mine hangs on the answer. Elijah was given a command of God. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And then when that brook dried up, again a command of God, go to Zarephath in Zidon. Zidonians, remember, that was where Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, came from. And God said, you go there, for I have commanded a widow there to sustain you. So Elijah was a prophet of God, and he was hiding where God told him to hide. Now the last time he had seen Ahab, he had said this, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And Elijah turned and walked away and hid by the brook Cherith. Now, I don't believe for one minute that Ahab started searching for Elijah the next day. I think he was laughing at him. I mean, there were 1,000 brooks and streams bubbling through the land, and luxuriant pasture lands in Samaria all cried out, it can't happen here.
But it did. And all of a sudden, the sky became like brass, and the ground became like iron. And then the search began. Ahab looking for the one man whose word would bring rain. And as Ahab saw his country being destroyed at his very before his very eyes, the search intensified. But for the greater part of 3.5 years, he couldn't find Elijah. And this is amazing, especially in view of the intensity of the search. His right-hand man tells us, as the Lord thy God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord, that means my master Ahab, has not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of that kingdom and nation that they found thee not. Ahab was quite serious about this whole thing. He left no stone unturned. And yet when it was all said and done, he came up empty. Now there's a lot more here than meets the eye. Elijah was a prophet of God and a worshiper of the Son of God. And he was hidden by God. Ahab was a Baal worshiper and one was under the control of his father, the devil. And the reason Ahab couldn't find Elijah was because the devil couldn't find him. He couldn't tell his child where to look. Let's take a brief walk through Scripture this morning and look at the two big seekers, the devil and Jesus Christ. And let's see what Scripture tells us about these two to compare them to each other. There's a revealing passage in Ezekiel 28. We don't have the time to go into the context right now. But the prophet here is talking about Satan. And he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. From the day thou wast created. Satan, then, is a created being. He's not eternal. There was a time when Satan wasn't even in existence. He's a created being. Now, in contrast, the Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Let's run that one by again. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Satan, then, was created by Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And later on, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. Son of God, had no beginning. He's eternal. Some of the most remarkable words in the whole Bible. And I usually don't like to read long passages, but I'm going to read this one. Proverbs chapter 8, an Old Testament book. The words of Jesus Christ in beginning at verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, always rejoicing before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, the devil can't say that because he wasn't there. He wasn't even created yet. The words of Jesus continue, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Here then is the first real big difference between the two seekers, the devil and Jesus. The devil is a created being, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's eternal. Another thing, Job, you know the story of Job. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, Whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." That's what Peter said, "Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now I believe that this passage is telling us that the devil has to walk from one place to another. And I don't believe he can be in two places at the same time. I remember being told as a little child that every minute of my life the devil was looking over my shoulder just waiting to capture me. Not true. He's not everywhere at the same time. He can't be. The Son of God can be, but Satan can't. He's got a lot of angels that are working for him, wicked angels, that's true. But you and I can be hidden too. He's not everywhere. On a contrast, and what does it say about the Son of God? John chapter 1 again. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said to him, "Whence knowest thou me?" How do you know me? We've never met. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." What was it that so convinced Nathanael that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Well, he was under that fig tree, probably praying. And he thought he was all alone with God. Jesus knew he was there. Jesus saw him. He's the Son of God. And when Jesus revealed to him, "I saw you under that fig tree," that was enough. "You are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Nobody else could know this." Now, Satan can't say this. He can only be in one place at one time. He may be able to move pretty fast, but he can't see it all at one time. Satan surely can't say this. Psalm 139. "Where shall I go from thy spirit?" Talking about God. "Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike unto thee. Where can you go to be separated from God? You can't go anywhere. You can be shot out into outer space, or you can be a miner a mile under the earth, or you can be in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean, or the densest jungle of Africa, or the North Pole, or the South Pole. Wherever you are, you're in the hand of God. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's what Christ says. And the devil can't tell his children that, because it's not true. It can't be. Another thing James tells us about the devil: resist the devil and he will flee from you. Your adversary is already a defeated warrior. He's already lost. And when God does reveal you to the devil and he attacks you, all you've got to do is stand up and fight, and he's going to turn chicken and run. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise. How do you resist him? The same way Jesus did. It is written. You use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because you see, the devil can't stick around when there's an open Bible. He can't do it. He's fully under the power of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. See how controlled he is. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that Job has is in your power, only upon he himself do not put your hand. It's true, he let the devil take Job's possessions. But he had a line that the devil couldn't cross. And then a little later, the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but save his life. The devil can't do anything that the Heavenly Father doesn't allow him to do. He's under total, absolute control. On the other hand, Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Another thing, the devil doesn't know everything like we sometimes seem to think that he does. Every time that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die, he also told them, but on the third day I shall rise again. Now the devil didn't know at first that that was going to happen. If he would have, he wouldn't have killed the Son of God on the cross. And you can believe that when the body of Jesus was stone dead and put into the ground, that the devil had a victory party that night. But then all of a sudden he remembered. That deceiver said while he was still alive, I shall rise again on the third day. And so they went to Pilate. Command that the sepulcher be made sure, lest his disciples come and steal him away at night, and the last error is going to be worse than the first. They had that right. If the tomb is empty on Easter morning, the devil and his kingdom are going to be in a lot worse shape than they ever were before. He had that right. So Pilate said, you have a watch. Go make it as sure as you can. Do everything you can to make sure the grave stays closed and empty. So they sealed it, and they put a band of Roman soldiers about it. And if you could see into the spiritual world, you can bet that the evil ones were there too, making sure that the thing stayed empty till after the third day. But then all of a sudden came the earthquake, and an angel comes down, walks right through the soldiers who became like dead men, paralyzed with fear. And he rolled away the stone, and out stepped the living Jesus Christ. I have the power to lay down my life, he said. Nobody takes it from me. I give it up by myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Is it any surprise then that Ahab couldn't find Elijah? And the devil can't find you either, unless it's of God. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's remember that your Father and mine, your Savior and mine, is the one whom the Holy Spirit tells us about here. He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names. Recent years, astronomers have told us that there are countless billions of galaxies out there. We never knew were there before. And computers' numbers can't go high enough to count the stars. But our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior calls each one of them by their names. And if he knows the stars by names, you sure he knows his own children by name too. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. The end of the matter then is this. The devil doesn't know everything. He only knows what our Heavenly Father wants him to know. And that is far less than what you and I usually tend to imagine. We'll have a prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for hiding us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the protection of the Holy Spirit which you've given to each one of your elect, so that finally our enemy can search high and low, day and night, and never truly find us. But the one who seeks us for our eternal salvation does find us and carry us back home. We pray then that you would give us the comfort of knowing that our enemy is already a defeated enemy, and give us the faith and courage to meditate in your word day and night and resist him that he may flee from us. We pray now the prayer that your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. We'll close with hymn number 172.
Amen, or the self-power.
bright with gold, over all evil without and within. Is thy heart bright with gold? Is thy heart bright with gold? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Is there no more condemnation for sin? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Art thou now walking in heaven's bright light? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy soul wearing a garment of white? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Thank you.